told you we're going to continue in a Herbie vein, and there it is, a vein. Did you get that one? Did you like the pun this? Jesse Fisher and Sly Fifth Avenue from the Vein Melter EP, and that was Chameleon. I'd say EP, it's basically Herbie Hancock's album Headhunters reinvented by you. Jesse, and by the way, welcome. I can't believe you're finally here.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris. It's
great,
really exciting.
Great to have you. We've chatted before on Skype and stuff, and you're finally here for your UK debut, your maiden voyage, to coin another Herbie pun. Somebody stop me. Yes, this EP we've played a lot here at Jazz FM. It's a brilliant reinvention of that 1973 gritty Herbie Hancock fusion, isn't it? At what point did you think, you know, I'm going to make a whole reinvention of this album and just do the whole thing? Because you first came out with Watermelon Man, I think, and then you just expanded the whole project.
Yeah, I mean, Headhunters was something that I've always loved and was a big influence on me when I was a kid, and all of Herbie's stuff. But that specifically spoke to me because it had this jazz thing, and it had this dance and funk and pop and everything, you know, and this traditional music, like with the African, West African sounds and stuff.
Bill Summers, one of the original Headhunters, with his with his flutes and his bottles and weird bells and stuff,
So, you know, that was always a part of what I wanted to do, but I think it was for the 40th anniversary of that album coming out, so 2013, I was like, I think we need to do like a tribute to it. So it was just a live show. It was like a one-off show that me and Sly put together. And in order to promote the show, I had this idea, oh, let's do a remix, you know, because I'd been doing a lot of remixes for other artists and stuff in like more contemporary electronic genre or whatever you call it. I don't know what you call it. So instead of remixing, what we decided to do is recreate the track from scratch in sort of like this dubby, jazzy, electronic thing. And he put all these orchestral, like wind ensemble colors on top of it. I did the basic drum track and some of the chords and stuff. But when we put it on SoundCloud, there was such a response. I kind of wasn't expecting it. So it took on a life after that show that we did. And we just pushed ourselves, like, okay, how can we do Chameleon? How can we do, you know, Vein Melter? And how can we do Sly? And really capture the essence of what they were doing, but not do like a straight cover. Like, how can we do something that's relevant for today?
Yeah, I mean, it's that particular album, as a keyboard player, it seems to fascinate particularly young keyboard players like yourself. And especially over here, I know young keyboard players, they become sort of archivists of these vintage keyboards as well. And that album sort of is like the Holy Grail, if you like. And some of that era is really, really important to the development of someone's musical thinking in many respects. Do you feel that way about it?
Well, I mean, it's important to definitely look at it as an archive, I guess you could say. But I think, so one of the strongest things about that album is the fact that Watermelon Man was already a cover from, you know, 11 years previous.
Yeah.
And the way, I think it was Harvey Mason and maybe Bill Summers that were able to completely flip that song around. And like, because I grew up in the 80s, 90s, I wasn't around for the first Watermelon Man, and I wasn't around for the second one. So I heard them both at the same time. So to be able to check both, like the original kind of boogaloo version and then this funk version simultaneously, it really opened my eyes to how you can do an arrangement of something and make a difference. So like, he was in the Bay Area in the 70s and wanted to do something for the people, because it seemed like, I've never met him, but it seemed, just from reading about it, it seemed like, because everything with Mwandishi was getting so far out and so spacey and so intense, I think he wanted to do something that was a little more grounded. And so the result was Headhunters. So I was thinking, instead of just doing it again, like as if it was a museum work and we're just recreating it, take the concept of like applying these jazzy sounds to what people are listening to today, like what people just put on in the club.
Like dubstep and
like whatever people get hype and they want to get drunk and go make out with somebody. Like that's what the kind of music that is reaching people, you know. So that's kind of what we're thinking, like what could you play in the bar and it would still be cool and people would dance.
Wouldn't it be cool if Herbie Hancock or Harvey Mason walked in while you were playing one day and went, this is very cool, I like this.
They're all my heroes, so you know.
Well, you said we and he, we were referring to Sly Fifth Avenue, the horn player on there, who you've been working with. Was he was in, I think he was worked with Prince at one point in the horn section.
Yeah, he was in the touring band for Prince for a long time. Sly is a really unique guy because he's put out his own, kind of like what we were just saying before we went on air, he's put out a beautiful, beautiful acoustic jazz record called Akuma. It was dedicated to his grandmother who passed, and it was like this really just well-developed, complete concept album of like his family's Nigerian, so it's this Nigerian and jazz and funk and soul kind of all together. But so he put that album out, and then he does these Club Casa Chamber Orchestra remixes where he takes like a Kendrick Lamar song or
Uptown Funk.
Okay, so London, you probably know about this already. So somehow we met through a mutual friend, and I was checking out his album before I met him, and I guess he had heard my music, and it was just like one of these instantly symbiotic relationships where we kept pushing each other to do like more and more interesting and more cool stuff.
And then, out of the blue, you flip from your electronic mode into a brand new album, which I played on the Blueprint on Saturday night, called Daydreamer, where you're back in the acoustic jazz mode there with vocalists and stuff. You love working with vocalists, though, don't you?
I really do. I mean, I love piano, and that's my main instrument, but I feel like most at ease when I'm accompanying, when I'm writing for vocalists or with vocalists. So, and Daydreamer was actually recorded before, well, it was recorded kind of the same time as Vein Melter, but it just kind of I was sitting on it as the Vein Melter thing started popping off and True Thoughts got involved, which is an awesome label out of Brighton here. So we decided to put the Vein Melter out first and save Daydreamer for the fall. So now, you know, Daydreamer's coming out next month on Rope-A-Dope. We started to do promo. You've been one of the first supporter of it. So
tell me some names on this album, because I've only got the files at the moment.
Oh, right. Oh, I guess you don't even know. So
Need to know.
Takuya Kuroda, the trumpet player.
Oh, you did a remix for Kuroda.
Yeah, I had previously done a remix for him. I love his playing. We're homies. We just had never actually recorded together. So I asked him to play on one of the songs. I kind of wrote it with him in mind, actually. So he's on this song called Sweet for the Blue Planet, which I really, really like. He kills it, and he's one of my favorite jazz composers and jazz trumpet players. We have, there's a vocalist named Sarah Elizabeth Charles, who, another sort of chance encounter with her, and we just clicked immediately. She kind of became my muse on this album, so there's three songs that feature her, and then she's doing sort of backgrounds on another song. And one of the songs we ended up writing together, I had actually never written lyrics before. This is like the first time she kind of helped me get going, and it was really meaningful for me to actually not just write the music, but to write the story and the lyrics too.
You've been playing, is it the V Festival?
Well, that was actually last weekend. This is another side of me. I love playing like with pop artists, and I got the opportunity to perform with this really cool pop artist named Lunch Money Lewis. Apparently, a lot of people here don't know his name, but they know the song.
Great name.
Bills. So he had this huge record this spring called Bills, and so it was fun. We got up on stage, lots and lots of kids, lots of people were into it.
More importantly, your solo debut with your project is this Thursday in London, debut in London at Mau Mau. It's Jazz Refreshed. Fantastic gig that has been going forever. And good to have you on there. It's down in Portobello Road on the west side of town. So come see Jesse Fisher on his UK debut Thursday night. What you got lined up for us? Some more of the Vein Melter stuff, of course?
Yeah, we're going to be doing a mix. We're going to be doing some Vein Melter, some stuff from my new album. I may have some special guests in the house. It's just going to be cool. Good vibes. And I've been hearing about Jazz Refresh forever. Like Daz IQ, I think, had told me about it. Mm. Rich Spaven from Jose James had been telling me about it. And then
he's in your band.
Yes. And now I'm able to say I'm going to be performing with him, which is awesome. So I hope to see you all here. Mau Mau, Thursday night, 10 p.m.
Jesse Fisher, good to have you on board. So let's play Loving You. This is a Minnie Riperton song. It's an audacious thing to take that on. it's on the new album Daydreamer.
Yes.
And remind me of the vocalist.
Well, her name is Sarah Elizabeth Charles, and fantastic. She has a record out under her own name, which Christian Scott had just produced, and that's been getting a lot of good reviews. And she also sings with this African jazz band called Ajoyo, which I love. But she just she did a fantastic job here. Again, I wanted to take something classic and just do something completely new to it, and something that felt right for today. It's a song that I love, so
here it is. All of the aforementioned bands we're playing here on Jazz FM as well, especially Ajoyo too. And good to have you here, Jesse, finally. Thank you for passing by, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Loving you is easy 'cause you're beautiful.
you from Jesse Fisher's new album Daydreamer, and Chameleon before that from his Vein Melter EP. See Jesse Fisher at Mau Mau Jazz Refresh. That's this Thursday night, his UK debut. Quite excited about that myself, to be honest with you. And after the news, coming up at 1 o'clock, Mark Walker begins 40 minutes of The Collection on Jazz FM.
Jazzwise magazine's August issue is out now and features Robert Glasper on the cover.